This is episode 84 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gilner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Happy New Year, my extraordinary women friends. I hope you've had a wonderful holiday and that you're taking time off with your family and friends this week, that you're making space to pause and really be in the season. I'm taking time off this week and I'm doing all of those things. I've had a wonderful time with my family, with my friends. I have made space to really be thinking about 2019, what it is that I want to really be giving birth to, what I want to really raise up in my own world. And it's such a blessing to be able to take this last week off and just do whatever I want to be doing in any given morning. I want to be going at a different pace this week. That's what I'm doing. I'm going at a different pace, getting up, tuning in, paying attention, and stepping into the day with an awareness. And it's something that I really want to be carrying into the new year. So I hope you're making that kind of space for yourself in the, you know, in this week, so that you can really be setting up what it is that you want to be making happen in the year, and giving a lot of gratitude for all that you're blessed with and right now, being in the space that you're in right now. And I wanted to get in one more episode in this year to close off 2018. And I am so excited to host a very dear friend, Sarah Bonenkamp. Sarah is the perfect change maker to end 2018 on a big, high energy. That is Sarah. She's got big, high energy. You are going to love her. Sarah is a chief trailblazer of some pretty epic conversations taking place in industry, in global organizations, and the professional and personal lives of many. She's a coach and consultant who helps business leaders and organizations cultivate an entrepreneurial mindset, establish authentic and purposeful branding, and design sustainable marketing and business management systems. Her approach leverages the power of pop culture. She's pretty hip, let me tell you, the ancient wisdom of horses and nature, and the gorgeous natural strengths and talents of her clients to design leadership and communication strategies that make massive impact. She loves talking social media, strategies that are cutting through the noise to reach today's Netflix nation, leading with a service heart, working through fear and rejection, and much more. And this interview is so much fun because Sarah and I really, truly love to dance together. We've got this rhythm back and forth with each other. We know each other's stories. We know where we can take things. I love this interview. And I think you will too. Let's dig in and meet the fabulous Sarah J. Bonenkamp. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Sarah. I am so thrilled to have you close out our 2018 series. It's such a special honor to host you as a friend, as a strategic partner, and as a woman I adore and admire so much. Welcome.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here, and timing, like, oh my goodness, the end of the year, new year coming, like, oh, this is perfect timing. So thank you for the invite.
Oh, I know. And it just feels like, I just feel this energy going on in the world right now. It just feels so exciting. It's like so many of the women that we know are just raising up. They're really doing some big things. They're getting awards. They're showing up bigger. And it's just really cool, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, the energy is amazing. I think that there's just so much positive momentum happening in so many parts of the world. And so, yes, it is. It's great. I love it. And I just want to breathe fire onto it.
I know. And I'm so excited to have you as one of our Circle of Inspiration facilitators at the Extraordinary Women Connect event in January.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. I was just etching out time in my calendar and just that opportunity to come together with, you know, women who are amazing and that positivity. Every time I go to one of those events, Cami, it's just like transformational. Can't wait.
And you know, the panel that we have is all about, I mean, I'm blown away by this panel because it's a woman who's doing some really big leadership work with quantum physics.
And
I know, right?
Like, oh my God, like with Richard Branson, right? I mean, it's like, yeah, that is like some cool ass shit. It's like, that is really going to be amazing. And then we've got you and all the work that you're doing right now. And we've got Michelle Voss, who's just such a, you know, a shaman helping women in their businesses. I mean, it's just, there's just so much good stuff that's going to be coming out of it. I'm really thrilled about that one. So for those of you tuning in and here in Colorado, make sure you join us on January 22nd. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing for sure.
Yeah. So Sarah, I want to dig in, and you just wrapped up a big conference in Ireland, leading some critical global discussions on sustainability in the beef industry. I want you to tell us about this.
Oh my goodness. It was my first trip abroad, if you will, to go to Europe. And so it was just neat from that perspective to go and experience and see other cultures and be immersed. But the conference itself blew my mind because it brought together people from 25 different countries around the world. And I had never had an experience like that where I had so many different types of people in one room that were all focused on the same type of topic. And right. It was around something that I, you know, feel really passionate around, because it's about feeding people and taking care of the planet and taking care of our animals and, you know, continuous improvement. So it was just like one of those things like, oh, the players here are cool. The location is amazing. And the, you know, the desire to want to impact the world was huge. So I want to play in those kind of spaces. And that's what we were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were some of the discussions and who were some of the people at the table?
The discussions were really around continuous improvement in how we care for our land, our animals, and our planet, right? And our people, ultimately. And so we had lots of conversations in those constructs. We talked about carbon and like that science, like we were talking about quantum physics just a minute ago. And like whenever you go down that science path, like that's not my expertise, but I learned so much. And it's like those carbon conversations are really critical to that larger conversation around greenhouse gases and things like that. So we were getting super topical in those types of things. But then we were also talking about things like, how do we change cultures? How do we impact conversations around food and science and emotion and, you know, helping nations get better? So that there was all sorts of fun from just the topics we're able to dive into, but the players there, like I was saying, 25 different countries, but they came from all aspects of production. So we had, you know, people who are raising the animals, so producers from all across the country. Then we had people that are processing the food, right? And so the packers and those that are, you know, really putting it in boxes, if you will. We had people who were there that are selling it direct to consumers, so the retailers, and not just, you know, mom and pop shops. We had some of those, but we had like global players, like those biggest restaurants and retailers in the country were at the table. And then we had even, you know, media and those that are sharing messages and putting the information out there for consumers to, you know, digest and understand things. So it was so beautiful. We had consumers there that we talked to as well. I mean, it was just a wide mix. And then people like me.
and I know you were, you know, guiding a lot of this. And what are some of the changes, the transformation that's going to be coming out of these conversations? Because I know it's change making type of conversations you were hosting.
Right. I think the change that we're going to see is that everybody is coming together to have that impact, to like all ships are going to rise in this rising tide. Right? And so like we know that across the world that there are some people who are better at production than others, right? Or better at a particular skill than others. And when we can collectively come together and share experience, share knowledge, research, all of those types of things, then we know that no matter what that trickle down effect, where you're from or that impact that you're going to go home and make, like there's going to be some positive things that shift. And so whether it's like, I have a new paradigm in how to look at problems and I'm going to then, you know, bring my people together and we're going to talk about the problems in a new way because I was able to, you know, have this experience at the conference where we were like, wow, let's think about the root of the problem and the strategic ways we address it, right? But they can go home and do that. Or it can be something as simple as like we were talking about ways that you do particular things like handling, you know, animal disease or dealing with a particular, you know, consumer challenge. Like, we got really down to brass tacks and saying, like, here are the things that we know work really well. So again, sharing those best practices, and then people can go home and implement. I think that's the beautiful thing anytime you have a conference, right? Or that you bring people together.
Yeah. And I think what I, you know, from what you've told me about it, what I really admire is that some of the silos of different groups kind of came down, you know, the walls came down and real conversations took place across groups that might not have been speaking to each other before.
Right. We had new players that came in that, you know, they have the same types of challenges that we do, you know, in different industries. And so, you know, whether, you know, they have the same day-to-day operations or not, doesn't matter, but like, we're dealing with the same types of things. And so when we can bring them together and talk about it and say, man, here's what it's looking like on my part of the world. And somebody's able to take that and say, oh my gosh, that same thing applies over here. Oh, the synergy that can take place and that shift and, you know, things is just really amazing.
It's true listening, isn't it?
Truly that learning. And I want to be super curious. Like, that was one of the funnest things to watch, is just to see these people asking questions and genuinely wanting to know what worked well and to receive that feedback and then considering, gosh, what does this mean for me? And, you know, seeing that light bulb of, oh my gosh, we can go and make change over here that really can be awesome. Like that light bulb moment. I saw that happening all over the place just because they were there to listen and receive and be a part of it, engaging.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were speaking.
Yes. My international speaking debut. It was so exciting and daunting and all of those things at the same time.
What was the message you brought? Because I know your message was powerful.
It was all around communication and how do we move with less fear, right? Because fear is going to be there. And like, you know, especially in the food world, I think a lot of marketing and messaging is driven around fear. Like, don't do this or here's what's going to happen. And so we get afraid. We're like, oh, you know, how do we message the right way so that we, you know, help people feel really good and that there's not this fear? And so my message was around, how do we move despite fear? How do we start connecting with people that aren't like us and doing it in ways that aren't defensive, doing it in ways that really are moving from that seek to understand kind of heart. And really at the end of the day, like showing up and not being afraid of your story. Right. And not that fear of like, what are people going to say? It's like, I have a really fabulous story to tell. And so instead of like moving with that defense and like, oh my gosh, I have to, you know, justify why I believe what I believe. It's like, how could we move that attention actually? And just move from the place of like, I'm going to stand here and own this space and share all of the brightness, all of the beauty, all of the awesomeness that we have, because there's a great story to tell. And it doesn't matter all of the other stuff that's happening. Like if I moved from that center, that truth, that groundedness, that authenticity, like beautiful things can happen. I don't need to, you know, just respond to everything that's coming at me. Like, what if I just move with truth? And I said it obviously with some different words, right, that audience, but that was at the end of the day, that truth. Like, how do you shine that light, that truth, that honesty, that no, you know, and not worry and not have that fear?
Right. And that's something that we can all take into our lives, right? I mean, that's for every one of our listeners. I think that's such an important message. Whatever it is that you stand in, whatever your stories are, this is an important thing for you to take into to your heart and your being.
Exactly, right? I don't need to posture. I don't need to try to find the, you know, it's important to understand your audience, you know, so don't get me wrong in what I'm trying to say. Like, you want to be able to speak their language and, you know, connect in ways that resonate with what they need. But, you know, if you're not first moving from who you are and those truths that you know and those strengths and those things that are beautiful, it doesn't matter.
Right. Right. So what does sustainability mean to you? I mean, I know you spent a whole conference, you've spent a lot of time on this topic this year. What does it mean to you?
Oh, the definition of sustainability. If somebody could come up with a great one, I would like give them a big like kiss on the lips, because I think it's everybody's got their own definition of sustainability. And I think that's part of the problem that we have. But I try to keep it super simple. Sustainability to me is, you don't kill the goose that's giving you the golden eggs.
Right.
You continue to do things in a way that will be good economically. You continue to do things that are good for your soul and that aren't going to, you know, kill your soul. I think so many people make that decision, like, I'm going to sell my soul, right, for this money. And then you start feeling bad. It's like, no, sustainability is like, I'm doing things because I have to, like, it's that soul connection. And like, it, when I get away from that, like, that's not sustainable for my own, like, being, my energy, my impact I'm supposed to make. So there's that piece. And
sustainability for the world, right?
Exactly. You want to continue to be able to do business.
Right.
And do more. You do no harm.
And take care of our world and exactly our earth and
continuous improvement, baby.
Right. Right. So this past spring, you visited the offices of the Center for Disease Control with a group of beef producers to talk about antimicrobial resistance.
Isn't that a fun word to say?
It rolls right off my tongue. Maybe not.
It does it for me. I'm like, oh my goodness.
And just a few weeks ago, you facilitated a panel at an antibiotic focused symposium where you featured millennial minds addressing their opinions on antibiotic use. Tell me, how are you being called to engage on topics like resistance?
Oh my gosh, right? I was laughing the other day when I was telling somebody that story that I went to the CDC. They're like, what? Are you a scientist? Like, where's your PhD? I'm like, yeah, I don't have any of that. And some of the language and the jargon, I was like, what language do you speak? Right? It was so outside my norm or my comfort zone. But I think the reason that I'm being called to make these connections between diverse groups is I'm a translator. I'm able to take these two different worlds and bring them together in ways that other people can't. And some of these issues like sustainability and like resistance, they're huge. And if we're going to tackle these issues, we have to have everybody's engagement, right? We can't solve it through that siloed approach that you had mentioned. It has to be that collaborative One Health. You know, the human doctors are talking to the animal doctors and everybody is a part of it. When we can't point fingers and say, nope, the scientists, they've got to figure it out. And then producers, you've got to do these things. Like, no, one of the magical things I've been gifted with is I can bring those different ideas, energies, experience levels, and have a conversation in ways that others can't. And so I don't know. It's just one of those things I believe that I was just born to do is like, let's have some of these wild conversations that are going to impact people eating, people living awesome lives, people taking away pain. Like, that stuff just speaks to me. So yeah, I don't know. I just keep following the flow that just is coming my way.
Yeah. And I love a couple things about this. I love the fact that this has been a shift for you in what you've been doing in your business. And it's like, you have really stepped up into conversations that you weren't having before. They're conversations that you didn't actually have, you didn't have the scientific background behind it, but you knew that you could step into it. So it took courage, it took risk. Talk a little bit about what that feels like, stepping into that courage and trusting that you're, and the second part of this is trusting, following that light that really guided you to where you're at. I mean, I think there's two components to this.
Right. I think the courage to do it was really rooted in my strengths. And I think this is a key component of everything, like any message. So anybody listening here is like, if you can really know what you're great at and just keep connected to that and keep making choices that are in alignment with those strengths, like life is going to be good. Right. And so as I was having these things pop up and say, hey, these are opportunities, it's like, if I can come back and then lay it over those strengths and say, okay, this work, what are my strengths? Well, I'm a learner. I'm somebody who likes to activate and do things. I've got this futuristic view of, gosh, there could be this beautiful thing that we could create and build together, and then achievement. So I look at all of those things that I know about myself and that opportunity ahead and say, man, is there a good match? And I always kept coming back to, yeah, there is a huge match. Right? It was exciting to me because I could learn, right? I had to go learn about all those acronyms and the stuff that happens in those worlds. So it was like really feeding that fuel for me, or that need to learn. And then that input, like giving everybody the opportunity to share and to grow, like I could do that. So that's the first part. It was totally in alignment with my strengths, and I had to keep making those decisions based on that. And that fueled my courage.
And the energy that you bring to the table too. I just want to add that in there, right? I mean, it's because that's how the energy that you're bringing to these conversations really gets people bought into what else is possible.
Right. And then, so that just made it even easier. It's like, okay, well, I'm making these decisions based on my strengths. And then when I show up and I get there, like I see and I feel like
it makes a difference, right? And so it made it easier for me again to continue to want to step up. It's like, man, because I'm there, like we're having outcomes that are really, really cool, right? We're having, you know, people that we never engaged with now proactively coming to us and saying, hey, what do you guys think about this before they launch a project or a communications piece or one of these things? Like, man, that's cool. Like, so you see the impact.
Yeah. And you know, so, and then the second part of this is following the flow. And I want to even just start with the story of you and I were doing work together, right? We were being strategic partners together and some business coaching with our clients, and we were having fun doing it together, and we love each other. And we, you know, we were in this space of, you know, we dance really well together. We know mm-hmm. that. But there was this day where we decided, hold on a second. Something's not, we're not really fully stepping into this light of who we each are. And we cried.
It was a terrible, terrible, awesome day.
We were like, oh my God, what do we do with this? And we both cried, and we were like, okay, but this is true. We were following this flow. Talk a little bit about the flow that guided you. You know, and I know there was flow that was guiding me, and we both knew it. And what's the flow? How did you trust this? How did you know this?
I think it goes back to the daily work. I know that both you and I do is that keep coming back to that question of what is it that I feel like I need to be doing right now? And I'm going to go back to that curiosity word. Is mm-hmm. it like that continuous ritual or rhythm or routine to come back and say, what's right for me now? Knowing that everything shifts, right? And everything is in that constant, like, you know, there's a new thing. What do I do? Right? We always have those decisions to make. So my journaling practice, my connection to what's the impact that I truly want to be making right now. I it seems simple when I say it out loud, but I think it was just that, like being right. curious and staying right. in touch and not getting numb
and watching what's coming easy, right? It's that, I think that was something that both of us were doing. It's like, we started watching what was coming really easy to us, and the universe was totally guiding us. And it was like saying, you know, no, you've got things to do over here, and you've got things to do over here. And that by following those, you know, breadcrumbs, whatever you want to call them, that, you know, the universe was giving to both of us.
Right.
It really opened up both of our worlds in a huge way. And it's so cool to be able to trust that.
It is terrifying at the beginning, and mm-hmm. you know, you're not sure how it's going to work out. And so I think I would add to that, like, you can't be attached to the outcome. Right. Like, we didn't know, like, shoot, am I making the right decision? Like, man, I've made this huge investment on this other side where we've been building content and doing all these things. And what would happen if I would just stay the course and not do this shift? It's like, right. Well, no, I don't know what that outcome is going to be. But what I do know is everything is screaming at me right now saying, Sarah, this is the path to take. And like you said, that flow, it was just like showing up. I didn't even have to work for it in a lot of ways. Like, I think I did, you know, obviously do the work. That's why it was showing up. But it was like, man, it seemed so easy. So you got to just take those cues and then be willing to say, you know what, don't know how it's going to turn out, but this feels like it's in alignment. This feels like the right thing to do. And I'm not going to think my way through it. I'm going to, you know, trust that my intuition's pretty damn smart and go with it.
And this is something for all of you listening, I would encourage you to just tune into as you're thinking about your 2019, right? It's like really stopping and pausing and paying attention to the feelings, to the intuitions, to what's coming easy to you, what feels light, what feels heavy. All these things are clues that can really help you maneuver into whatever your next pathway is in your business, in your life. And following that is can be so powerful.
Exactly. And also having grace with yourself when you realize that it might be different than what you thought it might be.
Right. Absolutely.
That's one thing that like wrecks me sometimes. Like, man, but this was the thing I thought I was going to be doing. And why are you changing your mind?
Yeah. Right. Like, right.
No,
yeah.
Like,
how do you hush all those? I mean, those, you know, that inner critic that shows up for all of us, right? That critic that's like saying, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
What do you do with it to manage through that?
One of the things that I try to do outside of my journal and like really getting like seeing it and like trying to identify like why is that there is like I have to talk to my people that know me. Like I have to go when that inner critic starts showing up, I have to like give it a voice sometimes and say, man, this is how I'm feeling. And so whether I write it in my journal or I say it out loud, I go to like that trusted person or that trusted journal and I just have to like put it out there. And then I get some feedback. like, okay. And then they say, oh man, Sarah, they might laugh at me or they might say, that's interesting, but here's my assessment. Here's how I view it. And then they help me like come back to reality.
Right.
So I think you got to have those trusted people that you can go to and then, man, I'm like freaking out a bit. I just did that even yesterday. I picked up the phone and called one of my good friends. And once you like put it out there, then you can work with it.
Right.
Right. But if absolutely. You leave it in your little brain and you like get crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about leadership and communications. And I know with all these crucial global discussions that you've been involved in, been setting the context around, what do you see the biggest leadership needs and biggest communication needs that are evolving for, you know, the conversations you've been having and most importantly, back into the world, right? I mean, I think that we're in a critical time in our world where conversations need to be had. Let's talk about the, you know, the difference between leadership and communication and what you see, what possibilities do you see out there?
Yeah. I think it's the difference between leadership and communication often gets skewed. And so what I know sometimes is as I'm working with corporate clients, I might get hired to come in and do some communication work, like help us to identify like what are some great messages that we can put out there to reach our core consumer. And so I'll get in there, I'll start doing those types of, you know, activities to get us to those core messages. But then what I recognize is like, well, actually, we don't even know what we might want to say. We're still trying to figure out like who we are and what we stand for and some of those bigger foundational leadership types of things. And so I think it's really important as you're dealing with any kind of an issue in any kind of an organization to say, the quick fix or the simple solution might be like, oh, we just need to talk about it, right? We just need to bring it out there and have a fancy little letter or a fancy infographic or make a video. And like, that's going to solve our problems, like these superficial kind of things. But really think that the challenge we have is coming back to that leadership piece of, man, are we having the conversations that matter internally so that we can really beat up the stuff and know where we stand and ask those internal conversations so that then we know what the heck it is we want to say to the rest of the world, right? We are rooted in that stuff that we know and that everybody can get excited about. Because I find that, you know, everybody's in their own little world doing their own little thing. And when you kind of come back and say, what is it that you do? What is it that you stand for? What makes you, you know, cry? What makes you excited? It can be hard for people to be able to articulate that. So a long way to say, you got to know what's truly a leadership issue, what's truly a communication issue, and then make some decisions. And a lot of times when it comes to the leadership piece, the decisions are how much fear or how much ambiguity or how much like boldness are we willing, what appetite do we have for that? Because a lot of times, you know, people have this outcome that they want. Like, I want to be able to change the world, but they're not willing to make the bold moves.
And to even listen, right?
Exactly. They're like, well, we're going to hire a PR agency and we're just going to change the world that way. No, 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 no. Everything has to come back to those principles. Everything has to come back to that why. Everything has to come back to that emotion. Like, what's the point? What's the so what, now what? You know, we can't just get it wrapped up into business practice and tactics and, you know, do we have the right language and all of those things. Like, I think we move into action way too quickly before we've got a solid foundation. How about that?
I like that a lot. And it's really interesting with the Women's Foundation, as I sit on the board, one of the things we've been going through is bias training.
Ooh.
And, you know, and I think you could probably take the same kind of concept right back into some of the groups that you've been speaking with. It's like, you know, we all come to the table with our own viewpoint of the world, right?
Yes.
Our own experiences shape and guide us, and we all have biases. And, you know, so really starting to be able to have conversations acknowledging what our biases are and to step into that in a way that you really hear the other person.
Mm-hmm.
But also recognize where you might be shaping your own opinion just because of your own life experiences.
Right.
Interesting. Right. Yeah.
And that safety is a really important thing, you know, in these organizations
right.
or anything. It's like, what are we doing to create a space where we can feel safe enough to talk about this kind of stuff?
Right.
Or to say, here's how I can be or why I believe, and be vulnerable with one another. Because I find, like, as we're having these conversations, there's this fear of being vulnerable. And like, what if I actually say what I mean? And what would that impact be? And, you know, and so if we could just be real.
To say what you mean and be able to say it in a space that is not going to be slammed down, but really be heard.
Right. Or now what's the consequence going to be? And now are they going to invite me to the next meeting because I actually said what I wanted to say? Or like, I just, yeah, that realness and that authenticity, and how do we get along knowing that we might not love where you stand, right? Because there's a lot of that, especially like, look at the political freaking climate, you know, like all of that. Like if we could just be nicer to each other and like truly listen, like that one foundational skill, like, oh, how much stuff could be better, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you have been drawn to the egg industry, right? Let's talk about that a little bit. How does that tie back to the roots of who you are?
I don't know. I come from potato country, right? In Pocatello, Idaho. And so everybody around me was producing food. And I just thought that that was kind of lame when I was growing up. Like, yeah.
Whatever. Oh, that's funny.
This little like stupid little potato town, whatever. I didn't understand it. But then like now, then going to the city, I moved to Phoenix and, you know, concrete jungle and lost touch with that. I'm like, wow. And I saw that, you know, there's a lack of disrespect, honestly, for people that produce food and a lot of misunderstanding. And I think at the end of the day, though, I was drawn to the agriculture world because of horses, and because wherever there was cattle or horses or cattle went together, and I like to play with cattle. I like to cow cut. And so that was like the immediate draw. It's like, ooh, horses, cattle, nature, animals, like that speaks my language, baby. I want to go there. And then you compound it with the, oh, people need to eat. And there's this big global issue. And there's people that actually don't have food. And we're having all these wars around food and all of this craziness that's happening. And then I love the animals, and I want to make sure the animals are taken care of too. And I love Mother Earth. It's like this whole little cocktail of badassery.
Right. Right. Totally. Totally. And how did it shape you? Right. I mean, how did that growing up, that Western roots of you around horses, around cattle, you know, the stories of you finding your way through that space, how did it shape you into who you are today? Why are you different?
Wow. I think that's always a question I'm asking myself. And today the answer might be, I don't know, I was talking to somebody the other day about potatoes, right? And it takes 2 years to grow a potato crop.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's like this huge process of cultivating the soil and getting it prepared, you know, to grow these amazing potatoes. And again, you don't know if Mother Nature is going to come in and wreck that stuff. And like, you're even going to have a good crop, but you've got to go through and you've got to do the work. And sometimes it's a slow work. You know, sometimes you got to hurry up and get the stuff out of the ground because like the freeze is coming on. And so you have to hurry up and get it done. So like there's different dynamics. You have to be adaptable to the, you know, the climate, the environment, all of the things. So I think it's shaped me in a lot of ways, but at the end of the day, I think it's about hard work. It's about coming back to the beauty of nature, the beauty of the people. And because that's one of the things I love most about agriculture and working in this space is just the community of people who care, like kind of salt of the earth, like come down, like they would die for you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I think that's what it is, like that forming, like, and I love people, right? I want to love on people. I want to, you know, just grow great stuff. And I want to make the investment in the time. And so, yeah, I don't know if that was a real succinct answer, but lots of things, lots of
yeah.
ways.
And you know, the other thing that comes to mind for me, because both of us come from this space, we were both in the 4-H program, right? Mm,
gosh, love that thing. Like, yeah.
I know that certainly shaped me. I mean, it's like, I swear every day that, you know, I am the leader that I am because of my 4-H roots.
Right. Do you know the 4 H's? Can you say them off the top of your head?
Your head, your heart, your health, your
hands.
Hands. Yes, yes, yes. I know. I love that. It's like, and it's so funny. I was, I had an interview earlier this year with someone who, had the, Dorothy Harrell, and she's the chancellor at CU Denver. And, she had been in 4-H as well. And we went down a whole, we could say the pledge together, and we were, and we had so much fun with that. Right. Right. Because it really, you know, she was saying how that had shaped her as well. So,
right. Well, it's just as simple things like taking care of an animal or like having to see something through and that dedication and discipline that it takes, you know, it's like, you can't, when you're in a program, like when you're taking care of animals, you're doing something like that. Like you can't wake up that morning and decide that you don't want to do it. It's like, I don't feel like I'm going to like get up and feed the horses today.
Right.
Like, that's not a freaking option. And I think that that lesson in itself in today's society is really powerful, because I think a lot of people are lazy, right? They've decided, and we've become such a, you know, automated instant world. It's like, if I don't want to, I don't have to. And there are not a lot of consequences. Right. And the people that are successful are the ones that have that discipline, that are going to show up and they're going to do the work, no matter if it's a great day outside or if it's freaking, you know, 95 mile an hour winds and, you know, it's minus 32 outside. You know, like, you just have to show up and do the work. So I think that's right. Something that's absolutely shaped me too.
Right. And then it applies right into us as entrepreneurs, right? It's like, we have to show up and do the work. You know, we can talk all day long, we can plan, we can do all these things, but if we're not showing up every day and doing the work, the change, the transformation, the uplifting doesn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. So there, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, we've talked a lot about the big global issues that you've been tackling, but I want to talk about another side of you. And I want to go back to, I think it was a couple years ago, where you and I both on like the same day had like this big hit that, I think we were both journaling and we had like this big aha in our journaling, and it, you know, totally separate from each other. Right. And the word spirit showed up for me in a big sort of way that I was supposed to be bringing more spirit into my business. And I sent you what I journaled about and you're like, oh my God, I was just journaling the same thing. And the word that came up for me was spirit. And that synchronicity that happened on the day will be forever etched in my mind. What does spiritual being of you mean? And how is that guiding you in your life, in your business? And just tap into that a little bit.
I love thinking about this question so, so much. And to me, spirit is all of the mystic, the magic, the things that I can't logically explain. Mm-hmm. And there are so many times in our lives where something happens and we can't describe it. It's like, man, it just felt really good, or it didn't, or, you know, whatever. And it's like, that's got to come from someplace. Right. And this thing that is so, so powerful. And so for me, spirit is just that mystic, that thing that I know is controlling things and putting magic out into the world. And so I've struggled to find words for this, but through story, I think is one of the biggest things. Like, spirit, when I lived in Arizona, I loved living in Arizona, but there was a time in my life that was particularly difficult. And there would be a little hummingbird that would show up. And every morning on my way to work, he would be there and he would like show up and fly kind of by my head, and he would do a little chirp and then he would fly away. And when I would see him, for whatever reason, again, that mystical thing, I would feel this immediate connection with my grandma, because my grandma was the bird lady, right? And so I would always feel so good. And it would be like that powerful, positive start to my day. And I would remember that, man, life is pretty good. And I have people that love me. And, you know, nature is awesome. And I'd have this, you know, it would feel good. And so that was spirit to me, showing up and saying, hey, you know, you might not be able to explain it, but like, grandma's there, world is there, you've got support. And like, where does that come from? Like, it comes from somewhere amazing. Like, cause it feels so good. Like, I walk into a church, like, I am not religious at all, but like, there's something magical. Like, when I walk into a church, like, I just want to bawl. I don't know what it is. Like, this thing just touches my heart and it's like, bang. And like, there's always something that happens. Like, I have this message, and I was in New York City a couple of years ago, and I was walking past St. Patrick's Cathedral, maybe something like that. And I walked in there and I'm like looking at all this beautiful stuff and I start crying, and my husband looks at me and he's like, why are you crying? I'm like, I don't know, but I just feel like I'm supposed to do something so magical. I'm coming back to New York City and I'm actually going to be on TV at 30 Rock. Like, I'm going to be on there. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know, but spirit just told me that's what's going to happen. I'm like, oh God, where the hell does that come from? Like, going to go to Rockefeller Center and get and go be on TV or do something there. It's like, I don't know, but that's a gift. And I'm not going to spend all this time worrying about it. I'm going to like tap into that. And so
absolutely.
When I'm around horses, when I'm around, you know, church, when I'm around birds, when I'm around rivers, when I go outside in nature, it's just like something is talking to me and it's a huge gift, baby. I got to just listen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I think the funny thing for both of us that happened back on that day was we were in a place where we weren't really talking a lot about spirit in our business. But we knew
nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, but we want. But we knew both of us were being called to step up and have more conversations around it. So it was really powerful. And then, I mean, even just the, you know, you think about the synchronicity of how you and I even met. It was, you know, the equine guided work is what brought us together. And when we started facilitating together retreats and workshops and the leadership work that we do with the horses, that really opened up the doorway to, one, our connections, our ability to, you know and love and support one another. But it's like, you know, again, one of those universal breadcrumbs that's come along the way that puts people together who are supposed to be together.
Exactly. And where does that come from? Well, I don't know, but it's pretty freaking amazing. Like, could you listen to that? Or could you just like discount and say, no, that couldn't be possible. Like, that's just not logical. I think that we do that all the time. And what would happen if we started listening to those weird ass ideas that come floating through?
Right.
Like, yeah. Did you know that you could talk about leadership and horse and do that with horses? Like, who thought of that? Well, it came from someplace pretty freaking magical. And like when you follow that and you have people in the arena and you've got the horses and you're talking leadership and magic unfolds, you're like, oh my gosh, thank you. That was so cool. Like, that's spiritual. That's amazing. That's like touching people's hearts. I want to do that all day.
What do you love about the equine guided work?
I love it because there's no bullshit. Like, so, okay. And here's the thing, like I facilitate all sorts of leadership development in my career. And like in a classroom, like you can say all sorts of things and create the best experience and, you know, facilitate it in all sorts of ways, but you're still dealing with people and their minds and, you know, logic. When you bring them out into this horse world, they don't allow anything other than truth, anything other than authenticity, anything other than being fully present right this moment. And so it forces people to connect with truth, with who they are, and not all of this other stuff that we kind of construct out in this, you know, in our minds. And so it brings us back to that heart. It brings us back to something that's like new and fun and exciting and that mystical, magical, awesome, big, huge horses. And so it just puts people in a place where they can just think differently. Right. And so whether they love horses, hate horses, they don't know, like something shifts, like they are viscerally touched, their body, like they're never going to be the same when they walk out of that arena, just because
Absolutely.
Of that, you know, it brings you home.
You know what, what the idea that's just coming to me is like, you know, some of these big conversations that you're getting into, these global discussions. Okay, I can see the horses becoming a workshop as part of one of these future conferences that you're leading.
Right. And I think that's
I'm like getting goosebumps.
Like I was on the stage one day and I was like, I was just talking to like 200 ag guys and they're, you know, I'm being real, they're a bunch of older, you know, Caucasian-ish generally, like older people. And I'm up there and they're looking at me, young Sarah, with her big massive energy, and I'm talking about love and leadership. And I got off the stage that day and I was like, oh my gosh, like those guys are probably freaking out
because you had a Brene Brown moment, right?
So we're talking love and leadership. Like, oh my gosh, what would happen? So that was like the baby step, the first thing, like I'm introducing them to that part of Sarah. I'm like, okay, if I can get them excited and comfortable in this, you know, conference room talking about these ideas of love and leadership, like I think that's a stepping stone to then wanting them to, or getting them to come to an arena. Because that's a big leap. They're like,
totally.
Let's come and play with the horses and get, you know, mystical and magical and spiritual. They're like, you have lost your shit, Sarah.
Well, you know, I just did this recently with a very high profile space company, right? I mean, a company and had an astronaut in the arena, which, you know, and I had all these scientists, and it was like the coolest thing to see them getting into that play like that. It's amazing. That, you know, when you can get the people to drop down their walls and just really be, and what comes from that is so powerful.
So, so powerful. Yeah. So I can't wait for that day. Like, oh, how cool will it be to have all of these players in this global space that are trying to do all this epic work coming here. And then the magic that the horses can bring, like, I think that could just break some really cool things loose.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for that day. And it will happen.
Yes, it will happen. Totally. So as you know, I love you on the stage. You are amazing on the stage. You bring so much energy. You've got lots of keynotes in front of you because I've seen you just rock a room. What topics do you want to be speaking about in 2019? What conversations do you want to be leading?
ooh, I want to lead all the conversations, right? That's one of my focus this week has been like, okay, I'm going to go deep, not wide, deep, not wide. Like, what are the things that I really want to talk about? Because I do feel passion in so many different areas. Mm-hmm. So if I had to whittle it down, I want to talk about fear and moving despite fear. I want to talk about taking those bold moves or making those bold moves. Cause I feel like a lot of people I work with like know that they're meant for more and want to make those huge bold moves, but they're not. And so I want to really talk about what does it take? Mm-hmm. And, a new theme for me that I'm playing with is how do you balance softness with intensity? Cause I have a lot of intensity and like, I think intensity is important if you're going to drive and have that achievement, but how do you balance that with softness?
That's such a perfect topic for you because I see you dance between both sides of that really beautifully.
Oh, it's hard, but yeah. And so I think a lot of times like what I'm dealing with or what, you know, your challenges are is what your audience needs a lot. So I think I've got to listen to that. And at the end of the day, I want to talk about brand and like just showing up and taking it and doing the work and, you know, not being afraid. And that's one of my favorite things to talk about is, you know, make those offers, make those requests, like just go out there and, you know, love who you are, go let other people know who you are so they can fall in love with you. And then you can go make a massive impact.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'm going to make you be bold here. What big stages do you want to be on?
Ooh, bold stages. I want to speak at South by Southwest.
Yes.
I want to speak at like a sustainability summit that is with the people, and I'm going to be kind in that the people that probably don't agree with my version of sustainability. So like the anti, you know, like we need to change a lot of things that we're doing from like, don't eat as much, you know, these types of things. Like I want to go talk to people that disagree with me. Okay. Honestly, I want to go and talk where there's a little bit of let me misstate that. I want to go and talk where there's a lot of controversy. I want to be that connector to those conversations that truly matter.
I like that. I totally like that.
Yeah. So I want to be on, I want to go on the Today Show. I want to go,
I love it.
Talk more about that.
Yes. That's, you know, it's like go big, right?
Yeah.
Let's go big. This is the year to go do it. And what's the legacy you want to be known for?
I want to be known for doing epic shit, right? Yeah. And then helping other people do epic shit. And ultimately that I did it in a way that was so me, right? And in being me, that was a light for other people to be them too. Because I think that, you know, everybody was born to do epic shit. We just forget about it. And so if I can help like people remember, like, oh yeah, like I'm supposed to be making this massive impact too. I'm not supposed to be over here just sitting on the freaking couch, you know, watching the days pass. Like, that's going to be freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I can feel you doing it. So I'm excited. I'm so excited. So Sarah, where can people learn more about you and your work and connect to you and take in some of your good energy?
So I love social media. A lot of people call me Social Sarah. And so I would say go to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I love all the platforms, LinkedIn, and just search my name, Sarah J. Bonenkamp, and I'll be there. I love it. I love to do Instagram stories. That's one of my favorite things these days. And I'm always sharing funny things. And you might even see my kids once in a while. Cause that's another thing that's important in my life. Like I want to be the mom boss, you know, that shows that women have children and they don't have to be afraid to like, you know, show them to the world. Like I can work and be a mom and like do all of the things at the same time.
Yep, absolutely. And you manage all of that so beautifully in such a graceful way.
Thank you. Yeah. I was at a winning mom moment the other day because my son, who's 4 and is learning how to write, he was at the table playing and he looked at me and he says, Mom, how do you spell sustainable beef? I'm like, oh.
He's
at 4. There you go, baby.
Oh my God, that's classic.
Yeah.
That's totally classic.
Yeah. My daughter makes food videos. Like she pretends to make YouTube videos. And the other day she made one telling people how important it was to eat their food because there are people in this world that don't have food to eat and they just need to gobble it up.
No, they're going to be little change makers growing up themselves. And I can't wait to be a part of their journey because they just light up my heart when I get to see them.
They get to go flying today.
Oh, wow. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a very big deal. Okay. So the final question I have for you is, what three pearls of wisdom can you leave with our audience today?
Oh, this is the hardest question. There's so many beautiful things that we could say, but I like to whittle it down to the A words. So my pearls are around assessment is the first A. And that assessment of who you are, right? You've really got to understand your brand, and not just in your mind, but being able to put words to it, like language, and saying, all right, this is who I know I am, right? It's because everything flows from the inside out. And so knowing who you are and what that means to you, that's critical. So you assess that and put some words to it. And then that next A is align. Right. You've got to move in a way that's in total alignment with those things that you just assessed and decided, right? It's like, okay, I know this about me. I've got that assessment, but what does alignment look like? What are those specific actions that I know I need to be taking? What's that so what, now what? Right. And so you get in alignment, you know, okay, this is how Sarah moves. This is how this organization moves and what feels good in that vision that I've got. And then that third pearl is you got to just show up and do the work. You got to act. Right? You got to act. And sometimes acting looks like asking questions. Sometimes acting looks like active listening, like we were saying earlier, like really receiving and learning and bringing that in. Sometimes it's making offers. You know, that action is, I'm going to make an offer of, man, I would love to do this for you. And here's why it's so important and the impact it's going to make for your life. Mm-hmm. Other times it's making requests. Right? What's that thing that I might need for somebody to show up for me around? So how do I ask for that thing? And sometimes action just looks like loving. Sometimes action looks like leading. Sometimes action looks like just like living that aligned life. So yeah, my pearls are assess, know who you are, align and say, okay, what are those actions that are going to keep me feeling really awesome? And then just freaking do the work, act.
Awesome. And I love that. I like how you look at ACT from so many different perspectives. And I think because so often people can come into, you know, just a very, you know, narrow view of what ACT means, but this, what you just described there is much more robust.
Right. And sometimes acting, there's a difference between doing and being, right? And a lot of people in leadership, they're like, oh, I just got to do all these things. But sometimes leadership is just being in that presence. And sometimes action is just like, I'm going to be here and I'm going to be present. And I'm just going to take it all in and see what that next opportunity is. Like action doesn't have to be action, right? Lead mayor. This is one of the favorite, I think this is a great story to kind of wrap up with. It's like when we're dealing with organizations and doing the horsework, love, you know, opening the arena and letting a herd go in and having people, not knowing anything about the horses, try to, decide who might the lead mare be just by watching them.
Right.
And how many times in that activity, the response will be the horse that's the most active, right? Because there's always a horse that's out there, you know, seeing what all the other horses are doing and being the center of attention. And so most people are like, yeah, that's leadership right there. And so we always laugh because we know that that horse actually isn't the leader. The lead mare is generally the one that's sitting back and she's got a lot of awareness. And so you can see her ears twitching, right? They're moving. She's assessing because, you know, she uses her ears to bring in energy and information. She can, you know, her eyes are on the side of her head. She's, you know, looking around in that 360 view of what's, you know, really going on in the world. And when she moves, like she moves with a freaking purpose, right? And you know, it was because there's that the herd's in trouble or something needs to happen. Right. And so but that presence, that just being like that's leadership, right? Leadership isn't just act all the time. Like sometimes that action is, I need to just be and receive and just hold this space. And then from there I can move. So yeah,
that's
action
brilliant.
Look lots of freaking different ways.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, I love you so much, my friend. And thank you so much for bringing your energy to Extraordinary Women Radio today. I wish you a Merry, Merry Christmas, a Happy Holiday, a Happy New Year. And I look forward to being able to continue to find our spaces to play in together in the future where we can come in and play and drop in together. So thank you for being here. It's such a pleasure for me.
Oh, I was just like so tickled when you made the invitation and I can't wait to see what the future holds for us because I know it's going to be epic shit.
Yeah, let's go rock the world.
Heck yeah.
Okay, you have a wonderful holiday and a happy new year, and we'll see you in the new year.
Happy new year, everybody.
Bye.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you thinking about making the next bold move in your life? I invite you to take the Your Next Bold Move quiz at CammieGellner.com to find out how you can jumpstart a passionate and meaningful next chapter. You may also enjoy my book, Fire Dancer, Your Spiral Journey to a Life of Passion and Purpose, which is available on Amazon. In Fire Dancer, you will become intimately connected to your heart's calling and build the courage and resiliency to ignite your what's next. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media channels. I'm on both Facebook and Twitter, and the links are available on my website. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.